As you know, we have been in this series, Self-Propelled Discipleship, and this is really all about taking responsibility for your personal growth. And, you know, when in 2020, when all of the trauma came in and everything happened, you know, we as people, you know, leaned hard into the foundations that we had. And we as leaders, so Scott and I personally, Pastor Scott and I personally leaned into our foundations. And as leaders, we looked and observed and watched as the church as a whole, as congregations, as friends, as our congregations, we looked and observed to see what did people lean into. And so it was a crazy time, right, of watching people lean into all kinds of things in that time of trauma for strength and comfort. All along, we're knowing, though, that the only thing that will actually ever give you true strength, true comfort, true peace in the middle of the storm is knowing how to lean into Jesus and to be able to have soul health and soul stillness in the midst of the storm. So we want to make sure that people, right, we understand that the church is not responsible for your spiritual growth, right? Pastors are not responsible for your spiritual growth. Mentors are not responsible for your spiritual growth, right? We are all individually responsible and accountable for our own spiritual growth. You know, I was thinking about just this idea, right, that someday, right, we're going to stand before God and we're going to be accountable for all of the things that were given to us and what we did with them. And we live in a day and an age where we have opportunity for the best mentorship in the world at the tips of our fingers. You know, I can just imagine meeting Peter at the gate and being like, yeah, so, you know, I didn't really know how to, you know, figure out how to get, like, you know, the answers to some of these questions. And he's like, you had Google, you know. We're doing a lot of homeschooling right now in a sense, right? Because our kids are switching back and forth at different times for, you know, virtual schooling and things like that. And it is the most amazing time to help your kids. I think about these parents that didn't have the internet. There's so many things. I was helping my daughter with her fourth grade math, and there was this butterfly method. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. What is the butterfly method? And all I literally had to do was type it into YouTube. And there was like 5 amazing videos that had been professionally put together that I could watch and show her and coach her. And I was like, oh, thank God. How did parents do this before? You know, it was so much harder. It was so much harder for people. And really, honestly, it was so much harder for spiritual discipleship years ago. But today, to find the information, to read the books, to find the, you know, you'd have to actually go to libraries and know these people. But today, we literally have the world of information and spiritual development at our fingertips. And so, man, just challenging each of us to take responsibility and own it. If you're not happy with where you're at spiritually, right? It's like, do something about it. You have everything that you need to do something about it at your fingertips. And, you know, that's why we have spiritual community. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to learn, right, how to feed and propel ourselves. In Hebrews, it says, right, it says in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to reteach you the basic principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is still an infant, inexperienced in the message of righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who constantly have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. Mature people train themselves. Mature people take the opportunities around them and harness them and use them to propel themselves. Now, obviously, we need God to do this. We can't do this on our own. This isn't self-help. This isn't alone. This isn't a loner mentality. We need each other. We need community. We talk about that all the time. It is not good for man to be alone. One man sharpens another. Iron sharpens iron. We need each other. But at the end of the day, somebody else can't do it for you, right? So that's the distinction, right? We need each other desperately. We totally influence each other, but we still have to make those decisions. So we are responsible for being a disciple. We need principles and practices. We've been focusing on some of these self-propelled practices. So week one, we talked about practices and the importance. I'm just making up all these new words today. The importance of practices. And week two, we talked about how to read the Bible. You know, today we're talking about soul health. Soul health and reading the Bible go hand in hand. You have to have this practice down in order to get to this soul health level, right? We renew our minds through the word. We have to have this principle down. You have to take responsibility and do it. And we talk about this all the time. If you don't know where to start, soap with us. One chapter a day. One chapter a day. You can do it, okay? Prayer. We have to learn how to talk with God. That was week three. You can go back and watch these messages that Pastor Scott preached. They were amazing. Week four, we talked about Sabbath and learning how to understand these commandments that God has said. And it's not legalism. It's a gift. Sabbath is a gift, and learning how to prioritize that. So much of this is just starting to learn how to prioritize. And I get it. Oh my gosh, I get it. It's hard. If it was easy, we would all just do it and we would all be massively healthy and successful. There are opponents, right? And in our freedom group, we talk about opponents of freedom. There are opponents of soul health. There are opponents of spiritual self-propelled discipleship. We have an enemy, okay? So there are opponents. We are in a war, but we have what we need to win this war. So let's keep fighting together, okay? So here's a simple statement. Healthy Christians need healthy souls, okay? Above all else, it says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, your soul, for everything you do flows from it. We cannot be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. That is from the Emotionally Healthy Leader author Pete Scazzaro. So I'm going to read that again. We cannot be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And this is in our soul, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about this actually right now. So healthy Christians need healthy souls. Healthy souls are formed by healthy soul practices. So let's talk a little bit about what is our soul. Let's make sure we understand what is our soul. Okay, we are triune beings. You hear Pastor Scott talk about this all the time. God is a triune God, right? There's a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are created in His image as triune beings, okay? In 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in the NIV, it says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit, right? We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. So our soul, right, is defined as our mind, our will, and our emotions. Okay. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. You can write that down. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when we are talking about health, when we are talking about soul health, we are talking about health of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Okay. So if you go back to that quote, right, we cannot be spiritually mature by remaining emotionally, right? Our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We cannot be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature in those areas, okay? So this is why it's so important that we take time to care for ourselves. This is not just a message for mothers, right? This is a message for all of us, all of us. It happens to be a great message for moms, though, because it's going to pour over into all of our investments, okay? So this is not modern self-help, okay? This is soul health. you know, self-help, right, can get you to a certain place. If it didn't get any results, nobody would even do it, right? There's a certain amount of results that you can get, but it always caps out. That's the thing about the systems of the world. They always cap out. They always cap out. You know, the enemy, right, it talks about how even, and this is a kind of a different direction, but sin, how sin is pleasurable for a season. You know, the enemy's tactics have elements of truth in them, but the enemy has the twisting of them. Self-help can get you a certain place, but can never get you to where God wants to take you, of true health, true freedom, true everything that we're looking for. So that's why we need God. We can't do this without him. So we're living in a different kingdom. We're living in a different pattern. We are responsible for the keeping of our souls. You've heard Pastor Scott talk a lot about the story of the soul keeper, the story of this idea that at one point there was this town, right, that had a river. Actually, it's a story of like the river keeper, right? But the river is supposed to be like an analogy of our soul, where there was the river keeper. And, you know, as long as the river keeper was doing his job, the river flowed clear and the children played and the swans lived there. And, you know, the town was happy and healthy. And then one day the town couldn't any longer afford to pay the river keeper. And so they needed to let him go. And so then the streams, you know, got yucky and the children stopped playing and there was sickness in the town. And then they realized how important the river keeper was, because he cleared all the sticks and he kept the river clear, and things that got in the way, he moved them. And so the whole idea is that we're the river keepers, right, of our souls. We're responsible for getting the gunk out, moving with the Lord to get the gunk out and to keep the flow of our souls clean and healthy with the Lord. And he'll guide us where those sticks are and where the roadblocks, where the blocks have come in that have stopped the water from flowing. You know, when we go like, why can't I feel anymore? You know, when I first started on my freedom journey a couple years ago, I just remember saying, like, the first meeting, that one of the questions that you're asked when you start on the freedom journey that we do at Element, that we facilitate now at Element, is like, what are you looking to get out of freedom? And I remember the first time that I went through it, I was like, I just want to feel something. You know, I had just gotten so clogged up with life and busyness and striving and just doing all of the things that I thought were right and honorable and noble, and realizing afterwards that, man, I had neglected my soul. I hadn't valued or even known, honestly, if I have to be honest, even how to care for my soul, or given myself that permission, or saw that as valuable. But as I learned, right, how to see myself different and how to value myself different and how to realize that there was nothing more important than caring for my soul, because then everything that I did flowed out of that, and continuing to remove those sticks and stones and blocks and strongholds, taking time, but it has to be carved out and has to be intentional. And so, again, we are responsible. Nobody can do this for you. And lucky for all of us is we are surrounded by a community now of people, right? We're, I guess, Pastor Scott, right? And I guess, you know, we're the leaders of this community, Element Church, and we are champions of soul health. And we are so thankful for our leaders who have said, like, they want to be champions of soul health, because they've seen over and over again the patterns of people who don't care for their souls and all of the good work that God is trying to do in and through them, and how it gets muddied and mucked up and sometimes entirely stopped if people don't take time to care for their soul. So this is imperative. This is imperative no matter if you're a leader, no matter if you're a parent, no matter if you're a worker. As a child of God, God as a son or daughter, this is imperative for you, okay? So here's some things that cause problems in our soul, all right? Well, actually, I'm going to read you another scripture, okay? So Romans 12, 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. This is scripture, you guys, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Remember, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. You see, guys, this is like the first step to spiritual clarity and direction. You know, so many of us are like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God wants. I don't know. You know, it's like, well, let's take a step back, right? And slow down. It's funny. I went like this to slow down. Slow down. See, this is what we do here, right? This is what we think slow is. It's not, you know, and if some of the gifts of 2020, some of the greatest gifts of 2020 were forced pauses. And some of us didn't know what to do in those. And that's what we're talking about. Some of us freaked out because you realize you don't have the right things in place. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to deal with your soul and all the things that you're feeling and all the emotions and the anger and the hurt and the pain. And those are the things that we got to know how. We've got to figure out how to deal with. And God has not left us alone in that. We are not alone. He is giving us tools of how to deal with those things and how to be successful in our souls. All right. So what causes the soul problems? Our past, our broken patterns of operating. In our mind, our thinking, our will, our choosing, our emotions, our feeling, broken patterns of operating. We are inundated as a society with broken patterns of operation in all of those areas. We desperately need God's help. If you are being mentored by culture, you are messed up. We are all messed up because it is broken, broken thinking, broken choosing, and broken feeling. We need God to teach us, to train us, to wash our minds, to guide us, and he has given us what we need, all right? Through the word, through the Holy Spirit, we have what we need, and through each other, spurring each other on. Other soul problems, fear, hurts, wounds, strongholds, lies, spiritual warfare, the enemy, Satan, you know, these are all things that we address head on in our freedom, in the freedom curriculum that we go through. Addressing all of these things, trying to discern and figure out how to not listen to lies, how to identify strongholds and break our agreement with them. There is so much, and we cannot wait to be able to continue to expand this out so we can get as many people through this curriculum as possible. But what we do know is there's a lot of people who have already been through it that are going to continue to ripple effect and drip that into the element community, into the element spheres. I know there's already Marco Polo groups of, you know, groups of people that, and you know who you are, that are constantly challenging each other. And it's beautiful. And we'll probably be talking about it more, how to continue to create more, you know, community, challenging people, challenging you guys to connect with people in the same way, because it's been so fruitful. But this group of ladies, they hold each other accountable. They can hear when the other person is believing a lie about themselves, and they can call them on it, and they can help spur each other on to truth. And so again, community is powerful, but okay, so we are in a spiritual battle at a soul level. We have to fight with spiritual practices at a soul level. I just want to bring to our attention that we have the ability and power to do far more when it comes to spiritual warfare than many of us have been taught. We can do more than just tell the demons to go in Jesus' name. We can do more than that. And so here's a little analogy. And that is from Charles Kraft. He wrote the book, 2 Hours to Freedom. Just a kind of a quick little interesting fun fact about Charles Kraft. He actually taught here at Michigan State University. He taught African languages at Michigan State University. I'm not actually sure like the years that he taught there, but if you look up his Wikipedia, it's right there that he taught at Michigan State. And when I saw that, I was just so encouraged and inspired, and it just continued to affirm and remind me, man, God is constantly planting people here in this area to do amazing things. And you know this guy that, you know, is such a person of, you know, spiritual warfare now. He did some spiritual warfare on this campus. He sowed seeds of prayer, I believe, and investment, spiritual investment into this campus that we may even be reaping the benefits of. But God has a plan for this area, for this campus, and we are so proud to be a part of it. But he writes in his book, To Our Freedoms, that demons are like rats feeding on garbage. Rats are attracted to trash and garbage. If we find rats in our house, the most important thing is to deal with what's attracting them. So it is the same with demons. Emotional and spiritual garbage provides a congenial setting for demonic rats. With people, as with home, the solution to the rat problem is not simply to chase away the rats, but to first deal with the garbage, then dispose of the rats. The biggest problem is not demons, then, it's the garbage. The demons are important to deal with, but secondary. So that was the quote from the book, 2 Hours for Him. So what we want to do, what we want to continue to champion in this community, right, is not being afraid to go after our trash. We are not trash, right? You are not trash. Pastor Scott wanted to make sure that this was really, really clear, and he said this before. People are not trash. You are not trash. You are precious. You are valuable. You are loved. But we all have trash in us, and it is important for us to take responsibility and accountability and learn how, through the Holy Spirit and through tools, to identify what that trash is, so that, because it doesn't matter how many times we rebuke it in Jesus' name and it leaves, if that trash is still there, it's just going to come right back, okay? So we have to figure out how to get rid of the trash, and that's why it's so important for us to learn how to identify lies, identify strongholds, identify these things in our life. Again, soul health is part of getting our soul healthy and cleaning things up, is to be able to identify, right? If you have a garden and it's overrun with weeds, you need to be able to identify what is the difference between a weed and a plant that you want there, so you can pull it out and get that environment healthy. So that's what is so important. So learning how to deal with that is so, so important. All right. So again, we've talked about freedom groups. Freedom groups is a practical way that we as Element do that. We help to walk groups of people through practical tools of how to identify that. If you have been in a freedom group and you have, you know, just kind of put those tools on the back burner, man, we encourage you, get them out, dig back into them, get alone with the Lord. Again, whether we're moms or whether we're anyone else, but let's talk to moms for a second here. There's nothing more important for, again, and I've said this multiple times, this investment in yourself, because we know as parents, and this is true, I mean, I see this so true, kids do not do what you say. They do what you do. You don't reproduce, right, what you know. You reproduce who you are, which is why it's so important for you to dig into these things and to prioritize your own soul health, your own emotional health, right, with the Lord, because that will automatically, you won't have to teach your children. It will literally automatically flow out of you into them through your daily practices. They will see what you're doing, and they will have such a better chance of replicating it if you're owning it first, okay? So we're going to talk about next some soul health practices for experiencing this amazing life in God. And the first thing that we're going to talk about, and we reference this in the intro today, for our moms, we're going to talk about, for everyone, but we have a gift for our moms, silence and solitude. We talked about slowing down. So practically, how do we slow down as people, right? We can daily slow down by taking daily and prioritizing daily time with God. We can slow down on maybe like a smaller level by taking personal reflection days where you just block out like 4 or 6 hours, right, of a day, and you prioritize that, and you go and you take some like a shortened kind of solitude and silence day. We have Sabbath. We have Sabbath on a weekly basis. We were talking about that's how we slow down. We delight. We let God speak to us. We let God heal us, right? So another way to slow down, and Pastor Scott has taught on this before, is a silence and a solitude retreat. And the book that we're giving out to our moms today, again, if you text moms to 97,000, is Ruth Barton's book on invitation to silence and solitude. And I love that very first word. All of this today is not anything but an invitation. It is all invitations. God is constantly inviting us to be in his presence, inviting us towards healing, inviting us towards deliverance, inviting us towards better versions of ourselves, inviting us to everything and anything that we ever needed and we ever wanted. And our job is to accept that invitation and to take responsibility for our part and to prioritize it. And prioritizing it is carving out intentional time for it. Okay, it says in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, lonely places, that might sound sad. It's not sad. It's beautiful because he wasn't alone. He was with God. So maybe another word, he often withdrew to quiet places, to undistracted places. And that's really the idea, right, of silence and solitude is going to a place, right, where you're undistracted, to getting out of your normal environment, away from your normal activities, alone, just you and God. And if that's something that scares you, read this book first. It doesn't have to be scary. It can be beautiful, and it is beautiful, and it's so soul healing. And yeah, this isn't something that we can do all the time because it's a recommendation of like a 48-hour period. So Pastor Scott and I try to do it once a year at least, twice at the most probably, I think is what we've kind of done. But I've had a couple years now where I've been able to do this and, you know, get away and start to learn how to be in silence and be with the Lord and let him work on my soul in that way. So this is a wonderful. So text moms, M-O-M-S to 97,000 if you are a mom, and we will be so excited to send you this Mother's Day treat, an investment in you. It's one of our values here at Element is resourcing you and investing in people. And so we're so excited to do that for our moms today. So planning it out, making it a priority. Nobody can do this for you. We've said that a million times today. So increase awareness around what is actually happening in your soul. And all of these things help you to do that. That's our point number two, increasing awareness around what is actually happening in your soul. Before you can practice how to deal with pain at a soul level, you have to be able to identify it. And in order to identify it, you have to slow down with the Lord. You have to slow down with your emotions. You have to learn how to interpret your emotions, learn how to feel. You know, oftentimes, people are like, I'm just mad. Oftentimes, anger is a secondary emotion. There's all kinds of other things happening underneath that. Disappointments, fears, things that as we follow our feelings and keep asking the why questions, God, through his Holy Spirit, will lead us towards the root of these things so that we can, with him, work through identifying how to just deal with whatever that is. So this idea, right, of following, I just said it, keep asking those why questions. How did that make me feel? Why am I stressed out? Why did it make me angry? Why did it make me sad? Where did I lose my peace? Why do I feel anxious? What is going on? And God is so faithful. I honestly will do this on a regular basis, but it is a practice now and an intention, because so often we can just orb in these feelings and we'll just be agitated and we'll just be living life and stuff. And we never take time to stop and process and value that process time with the Lord, taking time to journal it out, to sit with the Lord, to sit with the Holy Spirit, to let him speak to you, to then maybe with your friends go, hey, this is what I'm thinking and how I'm processing. You know, what do you see that I'm not seeing? But first and foremost, learning to do that with the Lord. So carving, and Pastor Scott has talked a lot about this too, journaling. Journaling is so important. It really takes things to another level of imprinting it on your heart and on your soul and of processing. I find that so true with our soaping. You know, it's so tempting to just read through it, to underline, and I find myself so often being like, I don't really want to write it out today. But I pretty much always still make myself because I believe so deeply in the value and how much more whatever it is that God has spoken to me settles in my soul. And then I can refer back to it. I can share it with others. I mean, the same is so true. It really helps you process on a whole nother level if you start to really value the practice of journaling. It's also a beautiful record of the work that God has done in your life and your soul. It's a treasure. It's an absolute treasure. This is not just for women. This is for men too. This is for men. Listen, men, journaling is not a girl thing, okay? It is so good for your soul, okay? So let's continue to challenge each other on this practice, okay? All right, guys. So then number three, facing your shadow side with God. Oh, guys, this, as we pour into this, you know, God is so kind. We do not have to be afraid to expose anything with God. It is so important as we dig into this soul health to learn transparency before the Lord. Nothing, well, there's a lot of things that are important, but guys, this is like probably the first step, learning transparency before the Lord. But guys, continuing to just encourage you, he's so kind. When we were soaping in Luke this week in chapter 7, you know, he raised the widow's son, and then he was responding to when Mary came and she was washing his feet with her hair and her tears and the oil and all of that. I just, in the margin of my Bible, like the notation that I just wrote was, so kind. God is so kind. Like, God is so kind. Don't be afraid to go before him. He is so kind, okay? He will be so kind with you. You know, we always hear about, right, the story of the man with the withered hand, and Jesus invites him, right? He asks him to reach out, to extend his hand, and he had a choice. He had a choice to give him the good one or to give him the one that needed healing. And when he gave him the one that needed healing, he was healed. And that's the invitation to us, to give God what needs healing, to be exposed before the Lord, to practice honesty. You know, in our household, honesty is such a huge, huge value. We have just beaten that drum in our household since our babies are little, and they will all look at you and they will go, honesty is such a huge value. And we celebrate honesty because we know, even if it's something that they're being honest about, that they did wrong, that we know that the fact that they chose to be honest is like, so like, I literally, it gives me goosebumps because I know the power of honesty and how when we choose, we resist the temptation to hide. When we resist the temptation of hide, that when it is brought into the light, that even if it's dark, that the power of the darkness is broken when it comes into the light. And so we celebrate honesty in our house, and we hold it up as such a powerful virtue because it is a key to freedom, okay? And our honesty before the Lord is a key to freedom, and God celebrates it. It's a virtue of his heart. He celebrates your honesty. Don't ever be afraid. Honesty promotes intimacy. That's a thing in our family. Even when it's been something that's been, you know, a challenge or a mistake, that honesty actually promotes intimacy because we know that no matter what it is, we can come to each other, right? We can trust each other in that moment, and that we're not going to turn away from each other in that moment of brokenness. We're going to embrace one another, and we're going to champion each other on, and we're going to celebrate that the steps were taken to heal from whatever that was and to turn around. And so That's where, you know, we're practicing, right, soul formation. So other practices are confession, and that's a part of honesty, right? When you're honest, you're confessing. But confession is actually, it is the admission of, right, of I choose to admit that I did something wrong, right? I choose to admit that with God, right, confession is going, I choose to agree with you that what you say is righteous, and what I did was not. Whether it was a lie, whether it was a, you know, Jesus talks about, right, if we do things in our heart, if a man lusts after a woman in his heart, he's committed adultery. And so to God, like acknowledgement of aligning yourself with his ideas of righteousness, with his thoughts on what is right and what is wrong. There is right and wrong, you guys. Like, I know we live in a world that tells us there isn't, but there is. And God tells us lots of things. And so continuing to align ourselves with that truth and his design for righteousness and what is right is so important. And when we miss it, choosing to go, I missed it, Father. I missed it. I'm going to choose not to justify it away, but to just own it. There's a really pretty famous story in our house with one of our kiddos, and they were pretty little, and they had done something, and they knew it. We all knew it. And there was this moment where it was a moment of just like, you know, like, this is the moment, like, you need to align yourself. Don't get sucked into this lie of justifying it away. Own it. And there's this famous story of Scott in our house just being like, you need to own it, you know. And it was a powerful moment where our child, that it was that moment, you know, we'll still kind of remember it as own it. And again, it's something that we celebrate. We actually celebrate owning it because we know that that is a pathway to freedom. That is a pathway to breaking the power of the enemy and unleashing the darkness that is trying to overtake. So whatever it is in your life, don't be afraid. Own it. Because when you do, you and God can deal with it together, and you can turn. You can then repent. And that's the next thing, is repentance. You know, John, right? He makes a call to people in the Bible, John the Baptist. He says, repent and be baptized. Repentance is not just confession. Repentance is actually making a choice to then turn away from whatever it was, to turn around. It says, you know, Wikipedia has an awesome definition. It says the doctrine of repentance as taught in the Bible is a call to persons to make a radical turn from one way of life to another. The repentance called for through the Bible is a summons to a personal, absolute, ultimate, unconditional surrender to God as sovereign. Though it includes sorrow and regret, it is more than that. It is a call to conversion from self-love, self-trust, and self-assertion to obedient trust and self-commitment to now live for God and his purpose. So it's a great, you can go look it up, look up repentance in Wikipedia. They crushed it. But it's so much more, right? Repentance is then turning and going, not only do I see and acknowledge that whatever I did, that whatever direction I was going isn't what God wants or isn't right, I'm going to go in a different direction. And that's where the Holy Spirit empowers us, and God is with us to make those changes. Repentance has action with it, right? Repent and be baptized. When we're baptized, it's an outward confession of an inward commitment that we make. It's that outward action. And so repentance is to turn. It is an action word. And so, guys, I know we're really towards the end of our time, so I'm going to go ahead and get wrapped up here. Here's a couple other, man, there's so many, you guys. So practicing receiving forgiveness. Oh, my goodness, you guys. You know, as you repent, right, as you confess, there's the opportunity for shame and condemnation to come in. But that is not from God. Ephesians 2, 3 through 5 and 8 through 9 says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and the following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I want everyone to hear this, right? This is a mom moment, okay? This is a truth moment. This is a God moment. There is nothing that you can do that God cannot forgive you for. Now, we understand there's consequences, right, for the things that we do. We're not talking about consequences, right? We all experience consequences from the decisions that we make. Those can be very painful. That is not forgiveness from God, okay? Forgiveness from God is a gift. And it is available to you no matter what, okay? So know that. Get that in your heart. And we're going to give you an opportunity right now. If you don't know God, if you've never started a relationship with him, so that you have the opportunity to receive the forgiveness. That forgiveness isn't from anything that you did. It's from Jesus. It's from the gift that he gave to you. So you have to know Jesus. You have to be able to receive the gift that Jesus gave to you by dying on the cross in order to be able to receive that forgiveness, okay? It's a gift. It is a gift to all of us. No one is excluded. You know, as we're reading in Luke today, or Luke right now, he demonstrates that over and over. No one is excluded from his love. No one is excluded from his forgiveness, okay? All right? So once you understand forgiveness, receiving God's forgiveness, we have got to, in order for our souls to be healthy, learn how to practice forgiveness, okay? It is a skill set we have got to master. It is a constant skill set that will help us remove the logs and the sticks and the rock and the mud from our souls. Forgiveness is a gift, not just to receive, but to give, okay? Ephesians 4, 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. There are so many scriptures about forgiveness and the importance of it. This is not an option for soul health. If you do not know how to forgive, you will never have a healthy soul. It is so important. So learning how to receive forgiveness first. We cannot give grace if we do not know how to receive it. So learning how to receive it is so important. And as we get alone with God, and as we get in these quiet places with him, and we prioritize time with him, and he washes us, and he cleanses us, and he renews us, and he comforts us, and he heals us, then we can turn in a whole new way and offer that to others. We can't do any of this in our own strength, you guys. None of it. Again, that's why self-help ultimately can never help us. It has to be soul help from our Creator. And he is so good, and he is so gracious, and he has came here to earth. He died for us, and then he left us with his Holy Spirit and his Bible and instructions and people around us to help us on this journey. Guys, there's so much more. All right. So we are now, guys. guys, as we continue, and we're not done talking about this. I know this is a lot. You know, we're going to continue to help resource each other, right? Resource you guys, continue to talk about these principles, to continue to grow in all of these areas, in all different angles, as we go through groups, as we talk here on the weekends, as we spur one another on in community. We're going to keep talking about these principles of soul health. So if you're like, oh my gosh, this is so much. I thought Pastor Scott did a lot. Oh no, Pastor Erica does the same thing. There's so much information. It's okay. We don't have to eat it. We don't have to get it all in a day. Okay, we don't have to get it all today. This is a journey, right? This is a journey with the Lord. And, you know, this is what's beautiful about video. We can go back and we can watch it again and we can keep digesting it. We can keep growing and we can keep learning. Every step forward that you make, God is proud of you. Take away from today that you are responsible. And that's not heavy. That's exciting because there's no limits. You are in charge of your propelling. You can do this. We believe in you. God believes in you. You know, the very, very last point, right, is live from God's kingdom with increasing gratitude and power. And that's really, I think I just said a bunch of that already. And so, we can be empowered. God wants to empower us as we continue to learn how much He loves us, how much He values us, how to care for this incredible soul that He has given us. This as we live here on earth, as we learn to steward it. And I'm wearing a necklace today that I got from our sisterhood, the Next Level Relationship, our relational network, and it says loved on it. And this is a constant reminder to me. It's probably one of my favorite necklaces that, like, no matter what, above all else, I am loved by God. And you are loved by God. You are a son. You are a daughter. You know, we talk a lot about identity. There's so many more sermons. It's a good thing we get to do this every week. We get to be on a journey together because there's so many things. So healthy Christians need healthy souls. If we're looking at how to be, back to Mother's Day, right? How to be a good mom today. Healthy moms have healthy souls. That should be top priority for us. Everybody will win. Generations to come win. Guys, this is a generation. God is a generational God. Everything that we do in our souls to do this soul work pours out generationally, you guys. This is a generational work. So good job. Well done. Every one of you who have already taken steps. There's so many of you. We are so proud of you. Keep going. Keep going. We're all going to keep going. Okay? Generations and generations will be changed. This isn't just about us, but we have such a role and a responsibility to own it. And be mature. Healthy souls are formed through healthy practices. All right, guys, I just want to stop here and I just want to give an opportunity. If there is anyone who is watching who has never accepted the invitation of relationship with Jesus, don't wait any longer. Jesus is knocking. You know, the word talks about how I stand at the door and knock. He is knocking at the door of your heart. All you have to do is open it and to start this forever journey with Him after that. So if that's you, I want you to say yes to Jesus right now, okay? And we're going to pray a prayer and we are going to celebrate with you the best decision of your life that will launch you into this, the actual ability to do any of the things that we talked about today, but because without this, you can't do any of it. So if that's you, just do it right now and pray with us. So Father, I come to you and I acknowledge that I need you. I cannot do this on my own. I need your forgiveness. I need the sacrifice of your Son that washes away my sins, that gives me the ability to have relationship with you. That gives me the ability to have relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, I receive that gift of salvation. I repent. I turn from my ways to your ways. And I choose this day to follow you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for renewing my mind and restoring my soul and saving my life. Thank you. Amen. If that is you and you made the best decision of your life today, then we want to know about it. We want you to text Element to 97,000 and let us know that you made a decision for Jesus today. And we want to send you some resources. We want to get you started on the right foot. And most of all, we want to celebrate with you today. And we want to invite you in to join this community of passionate people who are running hard after Jesus. We want to invite you in. We know there's a lot of great churches, but we would love to invite you into this one. We believe that God has you watching this for a reason. And so we are so excited. And if you want to be baptized, you can also fill out that form. Text that same keyword, 97, element to 97,000, and check, I want to be baptized. We're going to be having a baptism at the end of August. And we would love already to, at the end of 21 days of prayer, we're going to do our 21 days of prayer in August. And at the end of that, we are going to have a baptism, an outdoor baptism and a celebration. So if you want to be baptized, you want to make a public declaration of the commitment that you've made to Jesus, then fill out that form and let us know. Element 97,000, check, I want to be baptized.